The Drop with Frank and Brian is officially brought to you by Switch Suspension. Switch Suspension specializes in all vehicle chassis components. Lift kits, lowering kits, air ride suspension, wheels, tires, steering, and brake upgrades. They use all the best products from the best brands. And these guys are truck guys. You roll into their parking lot at the shop and they all drive custom vehicles. So they use their products that they sell on their own vehicles. So if you guys are looking for anything for your vehicles, whether you're just starting out or you just need some replacement parts or whatever, give them a call or visit their website, switchsuspension.com.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of The Drop. If you like these podcasts and all the other content we create, head on over to our websites and purchase merch. Purchasing merch keeps us going and creating more content. Our websites are grinder-tv.com and livelifecustom.com. We really appreciate it. Now on to the episode.
Facing the other way, and
you don't put your screen facing in.
Uh-uh.
No, I
don't know why. I'm just retarded. Yeah.
Let's see. All right, so here we are. It's been a week, actually. It's actually since since the recording is 2 weeks later. Maybe I have a Tacoma.
Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
Maybe
I could very well in 2 weeks.
I'm actually driving back right now from when this episode airs. I'll be driving, getting home or driving home.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
No, you're leaving. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, yeah. You're leaving next week.
Yes.
The show's next weekend. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So this episode will be the 14th. So I'll be driving home. So right. That the show I went to, the Southeastern Truck Nationals, is the 11th and 12th. And I'm going to leave right afterwards. I'm just going to pack up and start driving home. And it's just outside of Nashville. Just east of Nashville. So. I don't know where I'm going to get to, but it's going to go.
Yeah. Trying out, you're going to have everything packed in the new trailer?
No, I'm going to have it packed in the Titan. Oh, you mean
then you could put it in the trailer. You're just like, it's too new.
It's too nice.
It's too nice. No,
I don't want something sliding around and denting something. You know what I'm saying? Because the inside is finished.
That's right. Yeah.
So I got to, we'll see.
So just picture you brand new trailer, vent all this stuff and all the shits in the back of the Titan. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I'll be driving home is airing. And then, I'm going to have a whole video on this adventure that I'm going on and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that going to be part of a build video?
Yeah. It'll just flow right into it. Like,
hold on 1 second. What's up? A whole another episode. Sorry. Summer vacation kids.
Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be part of a build-up?
Yeah, probably start at Pandas because I'm actually going to Pandas on the way out of town to do some stuff on the Titan real quick. And then, so it's just all going
to... What were you doing the other day to it? You were sitting at were you just getting the tires rotated and stuff?
Yeah, flat repair and rotated them. Mm-hmm. Had to get a new trailer tire for the car hauler and... Yeah.
So and now you're going to take your 375,000 mile tit all the way back across the country.
Unless I find a really good deal on a Titan XD in the next couple of days.
Right. Yeah. That'd be really cool if that all worked out.
It would be cool, but I want to, but I don't want to at the same time.
Yeah. We've had this conversation before. But anyway, so welcome to this episode. We're doing a bunch of questions. We got a lot of great questions.
What do we got going on?
Do you just want to just jump right into it?
Yeah, we're recording back-to-back episodes right now. So the episode you guys heard last Monday, we literally recorded it 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You could tell by the same shirts that we're wearing. Then these shirts you can get on our websites, livelifecustom.com and grinder-tb.com or
thegoodlife.com.
GOODE life.com.
Yeah. All right. Well,
so that because we're trying to buy stuff.
Yeah, Frank's trying to buy stuff. I'm trying to, I don't know what we're doing.
I don't mean either. Let's drop it. You want to drop it in? Drop it in.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah, go.
And drop.
Drop it in.
Drop in.
Drop.
I dropped everything. I knew the drops would come.
Drop it.
All right. For those at home, we cannot hear that. We just guess when it's done. It's done.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
So let's see.
I screenshot this stuff and I'm all like, why is it, does it say Brian's still trying to call me?
Because we're talking to each other right now.
No, because I screenshot
when I was calling you.
Yeah, you're calling. So you know how they say that, like, we're just going to do these in no particular order? We're doing these in an exact particular order. I'm just starting at the top and working my way down because we got quite a few.
Because those were answers to an actual post you put. I have some screen caps of, like, messages we got with questions too.
Okay, yeah, we'll do those after we get through these. A couple weeks ago I put a thing out there asking for questions, and it basically said questions about your truck builds, about my Tacoma search, about shows, whatever, and we got a ton of them. Right into it, starting with Built by Budski. He says, favorite non-U.S. automotive YouTube channel? I don't have one. Top Gear.
I've said it before, Dropworks or something like that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I forgot. It's like, you know, you know what CD you want to buy and you walk into the CD store and then you don't know what CD, like, you have this list of people and then you walk in and you go, I don't know anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But if you were sitting in front of your computer, like, I'm going to go check out.
These are the 10,
you know, so-and-so. Yeah, yeah.
That's how I am. I'm like, you ask me a YouTube question like that, I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, like, I think it's called Dropworks or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's a bunch in Australia that are good too. Japan, you know. To be completely,
well, our friend Japanese TV,
Japanese Mini Truck TV, he just actually dropped a video of that dually out there, that OBS dually.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I have seen that. Yes, I did see that.
To be 100% transparent with everybody, I don't watch a lot of automotive YouTube.
Me neither. Me neither. I mean, I do, like, when there are friends and stuff who make stuff, like, you know, Japanese TV or Georgia was recently on Hoonigan. That was really cool. I checked that out. Yeah, like that kind of stuff. But I'm not like, I'm the same way. I think it's like that old thing where it's all like mechanics and their own cars and stuff. It's like, we make automotive content. It's like, it consumes every minute of my day. Sometimes I just want to learn about Eichler houses and
I'm the same. Like, in LA and stuff. I follow a couple van life people in their travels and a lot of music, you know.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to bring up last episode that I had. This is a week later, but I forgot to bring up that on my quest for a Tacoma, Car Care Nut has an hour long video on what to look for when you're buying a used vehicle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's really great. I'm only like maybe halfway through it, but I mean, he goes into really good detail. Yeah. Remember I was telling you about like revving it up and stuff? Like, there's actually more to that. So, and we talked about how I didn't take that Tacoma on a test drive. There's more to it, to where, like, you get it on the road and you, first of all, you jam on it, get the RPMs up and see how it comes down, and then just let it, and then you get up to speed and then just let off the accelerator and just let it, just the RPMs drop and cruise and see that kind of stuff. So yeah, Car Care Nut
he's really good. His channel is really good.
And he's a Toyota dude. So like,
yeah,
he's on Toyota.
Well, speaking of automotive, me and Joe Molina went to Strad Pizza the other day. So Strad Man opened up his own pizza place in Scottsdale over here. And me and Joe were out running around and we stopped in and it was really good. It's really cool. There's a huge, like, 100-inch TV playing YouTube in the thing. There's only two tables inside. It was 115 degrees, so we ate. Luckily, there was nobody there. No one was outside. Uh-huh. But there's, like, a dual-axle Jeep parked out front, and inside there's all this cool artwork, like, of supercars that's with, like, pizza delivery things on top of them.
Oh, that's cool.
And the food was really, really good.
That's awesome. That's cool. Is he from Arizona?
No, he's from Salt Lake City, Utah, but he has a house in Scottsdale. So,
I see. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's cool. Yeah. I forgot to mention that last week.
But as far as overseas, you know, like I said, there's a bunch of cool Australia ones.
Jasmine's channel is always the best.
Yeah. 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 It's not 6.4 Stout anymore, right? She changed it.
It was Chaos. Chaos Media,
but then
before.
She started 6.4 Stout, which blew up.
I think it is now 6.4 Stout because her Instagram was doing so well that she changed her YouTube over to 6.4 Stout. Because it was like Chaos Media.
The Inspired Existence. Okay, I could be messing that up again. You guys are putting me on the spot and I don't have my computer in front of me and my brain doesn't work anymore. Inspired Existence, I want to think it is. He's been doing YouTube forever in Australia, and he's really good. He does stories and show coverage, and then, yeah, that's all I got.
I'm going to mess something up right now. Was he the one that edited that part from that Australia show for you?
That was a New Zealand show.
New Zealand show. Is that the same dude?
Different guy. Okay. Different country.
Sorry. Different country. Anyway, moving on. Our buddy, Ivan. It's funny because, like, I really didn't tell, like, the whole Forerunner thing, again, didn't really tell anybody. Just sort of happened. And I never really told the twins about it. So I feel like they're kind of like, hey, man, what the hell? You didn't say anything. Because he says, Ivan says, why the F did you sell the Forerunner? JK, what are the plans for the Tacoma? What's your vision for it? Talked about it a lot before, but basically super clean stock, 01 to 04, extra cab, silver, bagged and bodied on Alba Bank wheels for now. Because there are other people ask other questions too. So I think as this episode progresses, maybe that vision will get a little more clearer. Mm-hmm. But just to start with Ivan's, that's what it is. Just bag bodied on wheels.
Yeah, Ivan wouldn't know nothing about that.
Well, I mean, he has a frame. No, that's not true. That's not Ivan. I'm sorry. He does that. Well, yeah, he does have his full
size.
That's
just a pass by truck or a for now truck.
Yeah. Finish your dang Nissan.
Finish the mini truck. The full size would be cool. The full size would be way cooler if you also had the mini truck.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Finish your dang mini truck. Throw a body on it.
Do something. Do something.
Sorry, Ivan. We're just beating the crap out of Ivan. Sorry, man. And then I didn't even notice this. Right after that, George says,
so the twins are two guys in our club that are twins, Ivan and Georgie. Yeah.
And right after that, Georgie asks, is Frank going to take the Tacoma to Danger Zone? If it's done, if I have it, we'll see. I don't know.
The second Frank gets this Tacoma back, running, driving, all that stuff, it's going to go wherever. It'll be just there.
I'm going to make an effort at that. Like, I'm not going to say, because I did that with the Forerunner. I said, I'm going to drive this thing everywhere. And then eventually I didn't. But I'm going to hold myself accountable. Yeah. I'm going to take this thing. I'm going to drive it. And it's, I'll take it wherever you guys want
to
go.
While it's at Pandas, we're gonna put a hitch on it. And you're going to be able to take your trailer with you and no excuses.
Yeah, no, zero.
Because
I want to have, like, we've always talked about this, about having, like, different setups for various, applications. Mm-hmm. And one of them is the trailer, but also 10 by 10, like three totes with like six shirts in it. Go to a show. Yeah. It doesn't need to be a 10 by 20. It doesn't need to have nine shirts or clearance
racks.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It can be a lot of different things. But yeah. So yeah, probably take it to Danger Zone. I'm sure Georgie's going. All right. Mr. Wagon, MRWGN, which I could assume is Mr. Wagon. He's all, why do Americans emphasize the H in vehicles and forget to pronounce it in herbs?
Oh, because we're stupid.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Like
herbs.
Herbs? Yeah. Herbs? Vehicles?
Vehicles.
And it's also regional, too. Like, if you come to, it's not Sacramento. It's Sacramento. You know, or what's another, there's another one that's like that. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's just vernacular. Yeah. Where are you from, Mr. Wagon? I don't know where you're from. He's all, I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
Jumping right over to Mad_Max_Juan. Would you, and this is another great Tacoma question, would you consider getting a truck out of town, like, let's say, in Texas? So I've thought about, like, I've gotten, people have sent me stuff. There was a couple in Texas. Our buddy Matt sent me a really clean one in Houston. We were just talking last episode. Tanner sent me a really nice one up in the PNW up in Washington, far, like Tacoma. That's near Tacoma, Washington. Yeah. But I've definitely thought about it, definitely consider it. And you could tell me again what the alternate to this thinking is I wonder if it would be easier just to keep it in California for like registration, title, transfers, because if I get a one from out of state, I got to have it inspected. And like, what is that process? Do you have any insight into that process?
Because
you'd been doing it reverse. You got the club truck in SoCal, and you took it out to Arizona, and that's a very easy.
Well, it transition. Is if you take it to a third party registration. If you take it to the state ran one out here. I think out of state they have to do. They just have to. They usually just have to VIN verify it. That's all they have to do. There is no like inspection as far as like safety or anything like that.
I've heard people talk about like it needs to be weighed and inspected and all this other things.
It just needs to, you know, just.
Oh, hold on. Oh, it's by the front door.
I would definitely, if you found the gem and it was somewhere else and it all checked out,
just go through that process.
Yeah, and I'll just fly there and drive it home. Mm-hmm. You know, like
it's
cheaper than transporting. You know, you get a $250 plane ticket, and if it's in Washington, you know, you'll spend, you know, $350 in fuel, so you're cheaper than transporting it. But your eyeballs on it, and someone else's eyeballs are, but you know, they could walk around with the video or whatever.
Yeah, that's the only thing that worries me. Well, like, so that's probably what I would do is have someone else like look at it for me.
Oh, you'd have to. You'd have to, because look at the one in Irvine that you talked about with all the dents in the back. You couldn't really see that from the photos, but when you got there, you saw it. So you'd have to be like a friend going over there that knew how important everything was to you, because you could tell it's silver, you could tell it's an automatic, you can tell the interior is clean, you can tell everything, but it would have to be someone that would go drive it and all that stuff. Right. It would have to be a good deal.
Right. And then, but what about if that person's all like, "Oh man, it's great, man. I get it," and it blows up.
Yeah, but you could do that in California.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
that's a
just funny scenario.
You fly out there, you get halfway home, and it blows up.
And then the person's all like, "Hey, it ran good while it was here." Yeah. Or like it starts knocking. They're like, "Oh yeah, I heard that too. I just didn't think it was that important."
That's why whoever you have go look at it, you just make sure that person knows what they're doing.
Right. Yeah.
Because I was going to do that even with the other giveaway truck. I was going to fly somewhere and buy it. And I would even consider that with future projects, because it would be very good content.
Right. Well, that's the other thing. It's like, if I did go up to the PNW to get that truck, that would be like a killer beginning to the video.
And you could do it. And it would take you a day. You know, it would take you 2 days. You could fly up in the morning, go pick it up. You know, Tanner's got friends up there that could just go buy it, store it real quick until you get up there and get it. And drive it home.
Yeah. That'd be definitely an interesting scenario.
Yeah, be fun.
So, but yeah, definitely considering trucks anywhere. So if people looking, you would send it over and it's in anywhere, I'll take a look at it. All right. Built by Self. Why silver Tacoma and not Dodger Blue? So the reason a silver Tacoma is like, I don't know, man. I just like, I've said this before, is like, every time I envision this truck in my head, it's silver. I had a dream last night about it.
Yeah.
It was a Frontier, but it was silver.
If you wanted a Frontier, this would be easy. They're all over the place.
No, I know. I don't. But I'm just saying, in my dream, I don't know why it was a Frontier.
Probably because when you're looking on Marketplace, there's thousands of silver Frontiers for sale. And you're like, if you weren't looking for a Tacoma, there'd be a bunch of silver extra cab Tacomas.
Yeah, right. If I was looking for a Frontier, there'd be none. But yeah, I just envision this thing in my head as being silver. And to be honest with you, like last episode, we were talking about like these different colors and stuff. And I said, I see a red one or the maroon one. And I'm like, I'm just not a red truck dude. I'm a blue truck dude. And that's one thing I absolutely loved about the 4Runner was the color. I just love that blue. Maybe sometime down, I also picture this thing being maybe at one point blue, just because I really like blue. And also, like I love the Speedway blue. That's my favorite blue. That's what the 4Runner was. Body Drop Clothing had that extra cab for a while. That was like that kind of like a muted blue, like a baby blue. That was really cool. I like that color too. But I'm really just kind of stuck on that Speedway blue. So maybe possibly one day when it's all done, and I'm like, But actually, I envision it like the stock repaint. Like we've talked before about Alan painting it just a stock color again. And then doing some like grayish graphics, I think would be cool. It's really small, like Joey's, like that, like little, you know, stripe on the side. So I definitely envision that.
Nothing's off the table, but right now, the table is silver and clean, because it saves you money, because you're happy with it. It's not like you get it and it's a weird color you don't want, and you even when bagged and bodied, you're like, oh, this isn't really what I want.
So. Right. And especially like even starting off with the color I want, because when Alan does repaint it, like, again, I don't want to discount what Alan doesn't say it's easy, because I hate saying that, like, oh, it'll be easier. But I guess in some capacity, like, painting it the same color, like, you don't got to worry about jam it and, like, doing this big color change, because the Forerunner had a complete color change. And Alan took all the windows out of it. He took the whole thing apart. Like, when you, the Forerunner, if you ever looked at anything, there's no of the old color anywhere. So, yeah, so definitely, I guess it would be easier. But yeah, that's why Silver Tacoma, not Dodger Blue. And plus, Toyota didn't make a Dodger Blue Tacoma. No. They just came out with that weird purpley color.
So weird.
Cobalt blue, I think, is what
is. I don't even think it's a cobalt. I think it's just a purple, isn't it?
Straight up purple. Yeah, I don't know. All right. Ralphie's Designs. You looking for a stock truck or an already bagged Toyota? That's a great question. We know that I'm looking for a stock one. Like, I'm absolutely looking for a stock one. But it is interesting to see how many people do send me all the bagged ones, you know? And it is kind of tempting. Oh, yeah. There are a couple out there that are like, man, you know, you could get that. You could do a few things to it, blah, 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 you know? But I don't know. I always like, no, you need to stay the course.
Stay the course. Because you just never know what someone took off.
You know, that's the biggest thing. When you said that about, like, when the little tiny pieces, I think, are the pain in the ass ones. Like, taking off this little piece of trim, or taking out this thing, or, like, moving this thing around, you know? Like, and I could see that with your truck, too. Like, when you were going through your whole air conditioning thing. When you have the one thing about the video that you put out with Tanner doing the air conditioning, that shot of you when you pull the dash out of it, I was looking at it, and I'm all like, damn.
Yeah, that sucks, dude. That's
a lot of stuff going on.
I'm looking. I'm like, what are these wires for? There's just plugs. And we found one was the windshield wiper motors. And he's like, oh, yeah. The plugs are just there inside the cab. And eventually one day we'll run them and plug everything in. But for now, and then there's just all these plugs not plugged in. And I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I know. It is a little intimidating.
And then when I go to adjust my heat, like, one of the vents doesn't go all the way over to just the vent. It stays halfway between. And I can't get it over because you just everything's been messed with. You want something?
Right.
That no one's messed with. I don't think people understand how satisfying and important that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially like when Tanner was all like, something about me. And then you're like, oh no, Frank's starting with a stock one. He's like, what an idiot. That was hilarious. But yeah, I mean, it is. It's going to be like, and it's going to be kind of interesting to, because, like, I mean, look, you're going to be as part of this build as I am, you know? So it's going to be interesting to see you start with a completely stock, perfect truck, opposed to the journey that you just went through.
Yeah. Know? Well, seeing Eric's is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, man, this is so cool. Mm-hmm. You know, mine was great for content. For financial, it was not. Great.
Right.
It was.
But at least it'll give everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people who like consume our content, it'll give them like a very good contrast.
There's two good things out of it that I've heard from people is, you know, like Chris Rhodes, you know, me and him talk quite a bit because his truck was in just like mine.
Similar way.
Yeah. So like it gives people like, oh, you can do it. You can bring a truck back, you know, that you've made mistakes on or you went the wrong way on or whatever. Like anything can be brought back with money and people that know what they're doing, you know, good friends and all that stuff. And then, but then also if you're in the market for something, don't think that buying the already bagged thing is the good decision to make.
Right. Uh-huh. What's going on?
Oh, I was, Trevor messaged me real quick.
Well, I'll pick it up. So it will definitely make people think twice about like seeing that truck on marketplace, like it's bagged and bodied and you know, maybe it'll give a lot of people some insight into like, yeah, we can do this. It's possible 100%, but this is the journey involved in doing.
Yeah, exactly. So,
you know, so think about it. And if you want to start that journey, if you see like a truck that's bagged and bodied and partially done already, but it looks like it's already got a really good stance to it and you really like it, then freaking go for it.
And take someone that knows suspension with you to look at it because it could look great. but mm-hmm. Tacomas aren't the easiest to bag. You know what I mean? So a lot of people just just do weird things to the front. And again, sometimes, you know, the airbags themselves, they're not expensive. The compressors in the grand scheme of things, not expensive. So if you're buying something that's hacked up, you know, you have to redo it, you're paying the same amount as you would taking mm-hmm. a stock truck to bagged versus bagged to bagged. And a lot of times,
that's what I'm saying. So there has to be something really specific about that truck you really, really like in order to go down that road.
Yep.
Like maybe like a really well-known truck, or like you saw that truck when you were a kid and now you have the opportunity to own it, you know, that
or you got it for super cheap.
That's the other part of it too.
Super cheap. Cause
for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what was the question? Looking for a stock truck. Yeah, that's why I'm looking for a stock truck, because, you know, I saw you going down your journey that you went down. Like I said, it's very, very tempting to pick something up already bagged, but I want to go through that, because I went through that with the 4Runner, started off with a stock truck and went through the whole build process. But now I know so much, and I've said this in the video that I uploaded a while ago about me selling the 4Runner. I am a different person than I was when I built that truck. Like completely, I'm in a completely different, you know, place. Yeah. So, and I'm excited to use everything that I've learned over these past, you know, 12-ish years and apply it to this.
But look at the great investment you made in the 4Runner by doing it the way you did it. Because you bought a virtually stock. It already had the chassis swapped, but...
Yeah, swapped.
Mm-hmm. Everything worked. So when you went to sell it, you were confident in telling this dude, it's a good, like, hey... This is how much I want for it, and this is everything works.
Right.
You know, if I was going to sell my Tacoma to someone, I'd be like, I don't even know, man.
I don't know, dude.
That's funny, dude.
You know, but it's...
Well, does this work?
I don't know. Go watch the videos. Probably wouldn't want to buy this thing.
That's very funny, actually.
So, like, it. Like,
I think it's going to be one of those things that, like, I think you just have that thing. That's just
I'm not going to have a
you're
reason.
Never going to you're never going to recoup anything you have in that thing.
No. You know, maybe never.
Yeah.
And I got good deals on everything. And then I was like, man, like I had been holding on favors for a long time. You know what I mean? For myself. Mm-hmm. And I pulled them on this truck and I'm just like looking at my Excel spreadsheet on what I spent on everything. And I'm just like, this is expensive.
Maybe one day whenever all the dust is settled later on, you'll be like, let me tell you the real thing, what went down with this thing. That'd be interesting.
You know, yeah.
But anyway, so our buddy No Simpin, the guy with the chop Tacoma.
Yep.
He says, maybe you've already talked about this, but how did you become president of Forbidden Fantasy?
Oh, so I got in Forbidden Fantasy, 95. In 95, and then end of 97, just the guy that there was, it went through a few people. So it was Todd Ramberg, was the president founder of Forbidden Fantasy when I got in, and then Michael Quigley, who's in No Regrets.
He was the president
of Forbidden.
Oh, really? Yep. Oh, interesting.
He was the vice president of Forbidden he's the reason I got in Forbidden Fantasy. Because I saw his truck at this pizza spot where all the members worked and stuff. And he rocked in his Toyota with a shell, had a big Toyota symbol behind the Forbidden Fantasy. And I was like, that's the sickest. So sick. So like,
that's tight.
Yeah. So, and then there was, now I can't remember his name. Jason something. He was the president, and it just kind of like Quigley was starting a family. He was doing these things. He just didn't have the time to put into it. And, so I just kind of was like, yeah, I'll do it. And
what was the year that you became president?
The end of 97, beginning of 98.
Oh, okay. Oh,
the first Forbidden show was 98. So it was right around that time. Yeah. Like Ernie was in the club. And we were just going through this period of like Quigley was still in the club, but I had just had more time. You know, I was young, didn't have any much going on, had a lot of time to commit to it and wanted to do it. So yeah, that's how it happened.
So when Ernie left and he started No Regrets, that's when Quigley left too?
No. There was everyone stayed except for Ernie and Gary Stalling. And then there was an incident that happened that where the rest of the few people got out. It was maybe 6 months to a year after that. I forgot. I don't know the timeline, but no, they stayed in for a little while. But, you know, that's kind of what happens with clubs. You get these, you get people are closer friends with each other. And then if this person leaves, these people are not going to be far behind. You know what I mean? There's just, so that's just how that went.
And that's just the way it works out. And Quigley's still in no regrets.
Still in no regrets. Yeah, he's still doing it. It's freaking wild, you know?
Did you ever find that cap for him?
No, it didn't, that didn't have a cap. That wheel didn't have a cap.
Oh, it was missing a cap completely. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I didn't just take leave to keep one cap. No, that, that didn't. You're like, I'm like, this is what you get for getting out of Forbidden.
Right? 25 years ago. Okay, so the, jumping over to our there's a few people who asked a bunch of questions, and we'll go through all of them because that's what we're doing right now. But Ben, our buddy Ben Turpin, he's got a few. I thought this was an interesting question. He says, "Can we get a mystery drop, custom life, good life T-shirt monthly subscription?" And I was like thinking about that. Like, I don't even have enough thing. Like, I don't think I could support people buying a subscription.
Anyone here, you're the one that could do it.
I do realize that now that I said that.
You,
out loud.
You have that logo on your hat? That could be a T-shirt.
It was a T-shirt. Well,
it could still be one. You know what I mean? Like, out of anyone here, you're the one that can do this.
I realize that now.
You could just put...
Maybe what I'm trying to say is maybe I don't have, like, the stamina to
you,
do that.
Yeah,
like,
well, you to, don't... To be, okay. You want to know what this what could create the stamina?
Money?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, income to put towards your mini truck that you're about to spend money on.
That's true. That's
you know,
true.
You could do this where you're like, hey, and even if only 20 people signed up for it, dude, months fly by. So you could literally just put the Vice logo, and it could be the same T-shirt 3 months from now, but a different color T-shirt. Mm. You don't have to come up with this artwork to
What would that look like? What would the monthly subscription be?
I don't know.
What would that cost?
I don't know.
We would have to sit down and figure out like the nuts and bolts of it.
I would love to do something along the lines of not a subscription, but a surprise shirt. So, you know, my shirts are like, you know, $28 to $30 free shipping on the website. And then
same.
But they would go like for say the shirts were $28 or the 50 something, say it's $60 for two T-shirts. You know, the one you're getting, but the second one is a surprise shirt that you've never seen. It's not on the website. It's not anything. You just get this surprise T-shirt, and it would something along those lines. Like, once I get the good logo all situated, it could just be that logo. It could just be a big G. It could be whatever, but it would be just the surprise shirt, and that shirt would not be for sale, and it would change every 3 months or whatever.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Well, I hold on. Let me take a note of that.
You're like, wait, delete.
Yeah. I keep thinking about it, you know, but it's just, again, it's not that you're in the best position to do it, but you just have to get it the ground to do it.
I think that, that would be the thing, is just kind of like maybe doing a couple trial things and see where it goes, and then get into like a rhythm of doing it.
Because I think you get in this mindset where you're like, okay, I'm going to get this artwork. I'm going to print these shirts. I'm going to do a pre-sale, and then I'm going to take these shirts to a show and sell them. So you already see the money coming in right there. But with a shirt, you have no idea. You don't know. You don't see the money. You don't. There's not a plan. So,
Really cool idea. That's something to
send us more good ideas, Ben. Like,
oh, he's got a couple.
Yeah. No. He's like, you guys should make more videos, lazy.
Yeah, I know. He's just out there just doing it. At like all the time, uploading stuff, being cool. And we're just sitting
just
here.
Lames,
just
being
not,
the lames.
Just lame. Yeah, being lames. So the next question he's got, which is also another great question. Why aren't we seeing right-hand drive mini trucks being imported like the JDM tuner scene? It's a good question. I don't know. I've not seen too many like imported right-hand drive trucks.
I don't, because we already have the trucks here.
But we already have like Civics here, and there's like tons of right-hand drive.
Yeah,
Civics,
but I think that's more of like a... Like, I think the JDM, the Japanese domestic market thing is stronger with the imports versus the trucks. Because people get mini trucks because they're just mini trucks. They don't associate them with Japanese mini trucks or American mini trucks. They're just mini trucks. Mm-hmm. Like, I like S10s. I like Toyotas. I like Tacomas. I like, you know, Frontiers. No one's saying I like the Japanese market versus the American market, where I think that's just more prevalent in the import scene.
Yeah, could be. I like little, not necessarily full like imported Japanese stuff, but I do like the little stuff, like putting taillights, like Japanese taillights in, you know, or like corner markers, just little tiny stuff like that I like. But yeah, I don't know why
I saw a Tacoma extra cab. I need to make business cards literally that say, hey, if you ever sell this truck, like, here's my phone number type thing. So in traffic, I can just go throw a card at him, you know,
like Mike the other day.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one, it was like it was maybe a little bit lowered and it was not the silver. Toyota also made a color. It was a darker silver, almost a blue. It was like a purpley, but not purple. It was really like a very dark blue, but not dark. I don't know. It's hard to explain. And it had clears. Clear third brake light,
clear
tail
lights.
And I was like, I want those tail lights just to have them. And I was like, and then he just kind of, I could have followed him and given him a thing like, hey, do you want to sell those tail lights? I'll buy you new tail lights to get those. Because that guy could have bought that truck from someone and he just, those are the tail lights that he came with it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's interesting. I've only done that one time. I was at the dump, funny enough. So I was at the dump. And this lady, older lady, pulls up in a super clean Tacoma extra cab. This is a long time ago before I was even in the market for one. But super clean. Silver. It was silver. And I just, something came over me. And I said, hey, that's a really nice truck. And she's like, thanks. She's all, would you ever sell it? And she kind of like looked at me. She's like, what the hell? Why? What? So it was really awkward interaction. But so I've done something similar like that. That usually ends up awkward. She's like, leave me alone, dude.
What do you want?
I'm just trying to dump my shit.
Like, you can't afford it, buddy. This also, it's $6,000. You're like.
Or she knows exactly what it is. She's like, 13.5. Yeah.
I had a guy that I used to work for. He was a mini trucker. And we both worked at Linex. And he had a really nice show cover truck. And then he also had a 15,000 mile 89 to 95 stock.
Oh, wow.
And his wife sold it while he was gone the thing, but he was like, she sold it for super cheap. It was a brand new,
$2,500,
basically brand new Toyota pickup truck.
Yeah. Wow.
So
crazy.
You never know. That could have been her and you could have got that thing for $3,000.
Right. Yeah, I know. You never know.
You could be mad at her husband. That's why she's at the dump. Cause that fool wouldn't go. She's been telling him to go dump all his crap. And
I sold the truck you bought brand new in 03.
I took all the stuff to the dump and the truck's gone. Aren't you proud of me for getting rid of everything?
Your old truck. This is also a great question from Ben. If your mini truck career ended right now, what would you do? Now, it's kind of funny because we both have businesses yes, we do what we do, but we also have businesses that don't have to be mini truck or truck related. Yeah. Like you do photos and video and I make t-shirts. Yeah. But I kind of thought about it one step further than that, because if I didn't do mini truck stuff, I would just make t-shirts for, I just have a regular.
You would you would pivot to promoting that business and probably invest in it and get, because you would do it every single day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But beyond that, if I didn't do screen printing, I probably would just be building houses. Like that's sort of my base trade is construction and building houses. Yeah. I'm actually a licensed contractor. I just never use it because that stuff, it's boring to me. I could build houses. I could reactivate my license and start building houses and doing all this stuff, but I don't like it. It's
just not designing fun. Houses is fun.
But I'm not an architect,
but
I'm only proficient at actually building them. But I guess, designing houses would be a lot of fun. There's a designer here in the desert. I mentioned earlier in the episode about when the person was asking about YouTube videos. And I watch all these videos on these thing called Eichler houses. And they're just mid-century modern houses that are built all over Los Angeles and the suburbs and stuff. And so it's funny because even though I am a contractor and I could build something, there's a guy up here. His name's Donnie Donovan. And he has this guy has a long history of doing stuff up here. He has a skateboard shop. He has a race team. He does all this stuff, but he actually builds houses too. And his designs are very specific. If you saw one of his houses, you'd be like, oh yeah, that's a Donnie Donovan house. So I would want him to design a house for me.
You know? Yeah. Jeremy Trey Five. That's what he went to school for. He went to college for that stuff. So sometimes we'll be at the shop and he does that on the side, he designs houses and it's really cool to see that, because you can put he designed his own house and he's designing his new house. So you can put your wherever, you can put your closet, you can do anything you want. You're not confined to like what I did, you know what I mean? Like just pick out.
Yeah. Like, picking out,
you know, where wall outlets go or whatever, you know what I mean? Like you could do these things. And I think that would be a fun, fulfilling job. You want to know what I would do?
Yeah. I'm curious if you didn't, if you obviously weren't doing truck stuff and not doing photography,
I would help people buy cars and not get ripped off. Because
that's in your wheelhouse, man.
Because I cannot stand the stuff that the dealerships and finance offices try to pull over on people and just rip them, you know?
Have you seen those guys on TikTok that go on live?
Like Tommy?
Buy cars for people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tommy's a good one. You know, there's this guy on TikTok and he's on Instagram and YouTube, and you pay him $1,000 and that dude will get you anywhere from $2,000 to $5,000 to $10,000 off of your purchase of a vehicle. And he does it. He does lives, and he kind of shows you like the things you need in the things you do not need in the finance office. Like, don't get this, don't get that. You know, like on my Maverick, for example, the extended warranty, which they always try to sell you because they make a bunch of money on it. So I did not get the extended warranty. What I did was, before the 36,000 miles, 3 year, the bumper to bumper was up, you can buy an extended warranty from Ford, the same warranty that they would sell you in the finance office. I paid $1,200 for it for a 5 year, 100,000. Where in the finance office, they're going to try to sell it to you for anywhere from 3 to 5,000,
and put interest.
Yeah, because it's in your they roll it into your loan. So if you're going to buy a car and you're in the finance office, like look up this guy Tommy on Instagram and stuff, and just
I've seen his lives and I've seen a couple of what I like about his is when he approaches, like when he calls up dealerships, like basically cold calls them. Like he's never aggressive. No. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and I think that's like when some people think about doing deals and dealing with the dealership, like you got to go in there and be like a hard ass or whatever. The guy never is like that. He knows the right things to say in order to get the things that he wants, which I think is really important.
You know? And he's really informative on the market. Like he just had some Toyota stuff about the Toyota market right now, because in California, there's certain cars that are more in demand. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like RAV4 hybrids are in demand here, but he'll get them for you in another part of the country
when they're not so high,
and then have them shipped to where you're at, and you're still saving a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's what I would do. I've been ripped off. I've seen people crying at the dealership. I saw a lady that she was just crying in tears because, you know, these people just don't care about you.
Because they're the opposite. They're the aggressive ones.
Yeah. They will start to tell you a story about gap insurance, for example, about how their how their daughter.
It's always the daughter.
They bought a car for the daughter, didn't get the gap insurance. The daughter had an accident, and then they had to pay out of pocket. And you're just like, that's such a good idea. And it's like, there's a reason to get gap and a reason not to get gap, and usually the reason not to get gap outweighs the reason to get it, but people just don't understand it. Because they're not, you know, people don't buy cars all the time, you know. So,
People either rarely do it because they buy used cars, or when they do it, they only do it every few years. So, it's kind of like a jarring experience for someone who's not well versed in it, you know.
Oh, overwhelming and too. Local politics, I would probably get into. Like local politics.
Oh, local. Oh, you get into local politics. Oh, yeah. I've always wanted to be the mayor of my town. Which I've said that too. Like, I would love to be like either the mayor of my town or run for Congress at some point.
Yeah, me too. That would be. I think that'd be cool. It would be really fun.
Yeah. Thanks, Ben. Jumping over Ben now to 5150 Bentley. So if you guys weren't, that's funny. Never mind. It's the same question. 5150 Bentley asks, if you guys weren't in the line of work you are, and now what would you be doing?
Same thing.
Hopefully we answered that for you. NR_bear_AZ. What's the perfect Tacoma? I was saying it before, but I'll be very, very specific right here. 01 to 04, extra cab, silver, bucket seats and a console, lowish mileage. Sub 250, I think.
That's the perfect Tacoma that you're trying to buy, but you mean just an 01 to 04 silver Tacoma bagged and body dropped is a perfect Tacoma for you.
I see. That would be the perfect
and mine
for me.
Is mine. I'm a standard cab guy. I love extra cabs, don't get me wrong, and I will own an extra cab at some point in my in this process, you know, because I love extra cabs. I also think Yeah, Tacomas are weird because some Tacomas have very ugly front ends.
And yes, and that's why I'm very specific to the
01 to 04s are the best factory, like what came on a factory Tacoma to me. Uh-huh. You know, you can play around with a 98 or a 97 or even the 95 and a half because they have the small headlights, which are which are rare, and they those look cool too. But
I was going to say those are my least favorite.
Yeah, see, those are the 98s are my least favorite because they have the big headlights with the big bumper.
That's my second favorite is 0104 and then 98 with the big headlights.
No, but with the big lip bumper?
I don't really pay attention to the bumper. Oh, I'm only
you have to pay attention to the bumper because you'll walk into it 3 feet before you hit the hood. You're talking about my year, the 97, with the chrome slick bumper and the big headlights.
Oh, okay.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah, go look at a 98, and it's got that big chin bumper.
Wait, 97s had big headlights too? Oh, okay. Yeah. Then that is the
95 and a half and 96 had small headlights like the 95, like the 89 and 95s. And then 97s kept the regular chrome bumper with the big headlights. And then 98s went to big headlights, huge bumper.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I'm not thinking about that.
90, but I think.
I just like the headlights.
Yeah, I like all those years because when you bag and body drop them, they're proportioned. Like even the small headlights. They're not my favorite, but they still look cool. But I think they nailed it with the 01 to 04 front ends. They just look cool.
Yeah. Those are my favorites because my favorite part of it is the big grill, but then also the shape of the hood, how it's got the bump that comes down. Because Tacomas are so swoopy and like they have so many lines. And to me, and this is just my own personal opinion, but like a 95 to 96 – the hood just falls off. Like it's just kind of like you have all these slick lines and then the hood just disappears where the 0104 has more dimension to it. Basically. That's why I like it. But yeah, perfect Tacoma. Perfect. When it's not all done, but when it gets to a point, it will be. Yeah. Everything that I mentioned bagged, bodied on banks. Yeah. Cause I'm just stuck on those wheels. All right. K5 underscore Blazin 77. What's your guys' favorite trailer companies to haul your show trucks when you're about to
trailer?
Or you're on your way back from that journey. Yeah. Like he's asking, do we have any specific companies that we,
I don't know.
I don't think necessarily companies, but I just think that we have very specific, like you've been on this trailer journey, this enclosed trailer journey.
Oh, but he's talking like about like a hauling company, like a person that hauls your trailers for you. Like a transporter.
No, I think he's talking about like a big techs. Like
read the question
like
again.
A big okay. What's your guys' favorite trailer companies to haul your show trucks?
Yeah, that could go either way.
I'm reading it more like do I have like I'm a big techs guy.
They're all the same. They're all the same.
I think it's but what I was saying is like when you start getting into specific things you like when you were building the vendor trailer or the
so you got
there was these like boxes you were checking
on. So it's like anything else. They're going to advertise one trailer for this price, but that trailer is not going to have the heavy duty axles. So if you upgrade to the heavy duty axles, there's only like a few companies that make those axles. So it doesn't matter the trailer manufacturer. They're all using the same axles, you know, and all that stuff. So, but I would say like probably Big Tex is probably like the, like
across the board. Yeah, I think that's the most like, yeah, that's like the most
common high end
industry standard. I guess, maybe I don't know.
I don't know,
but I'm embarrassed to show anybody, but if you saw the car trailer that we have laying around here, you'd be like, I remember I used it one time. I forgot what we were doing, but Max was there. He looks at it, he goes, "What's wrong with this trailer?"
Yeah,
I was like, don't mind that. It was real bad. I guess the best trailer is just the one that takes
the best trailer is the one that you got, man.
Yeah,
because so I have the open car hauler, and it's all steel, right? It was made in Fontana. It was that place is super cheap, but it's still a steel trailer with axles on it. They're using the same leaf springs. They're using all that stuff. I've all upgraded all that stuff, but when I got the price to fix that trailer, you know, it was the price to fix that trailer. I could have went and bought a new trailer.
Oh, really?
But the guy said, "Well, you're going to buy a new trailer, but it's going to have wood." And this is a steel, you don't really find all these steel trailers anymore, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's true. He's like, it's not, you're just replacing all the parts and this is a new trailer. And so I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. So that's another YouTube thing. Going back to YouTube channels that we watch, I got, I went down this wormhole, this dude that buys junk trailers and fixes them. And I was like,
oh, really?
I'm like, I this would be a fun thing to do, like going, buying these things and fixing
them. You're essentially doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have been doing that for the past couple of years.
So, but he was doing it all himself, and it was just like, oh yeah, this is really cool. Any trailer is good. It's just the parts that they use.
I came across, I'll send it to you later, but I came across this, I think it's a newer page around here in Southern California, but it's an RV slash car trailer trader, basically. Kind of like what Cali Boy does, but for RVs and car trailers. And yeah, they got all sorts of interesting stuff on there. Like $200,000 diesel pusher motorhomes, double stack, like the PMF guys just made double stack, like crazy trailers. So it's, as if anything, like, you're not going to buy anything. It's just interesting, all the different applications of trailers that are out
there. You got to be careful, because like on the open car trailer, it's got 3,500 pound axles, right? So it's 7,000 pounds is what it's rated. The trailer weighs about 2,000 pounds, let's say. So you're only supposed to put 5,000 pounds on it. And then you got to see what tires they put on. They're going to put the cheapest tires on when you buy these things.
Yep.
And then, like on the enclosed trailers, even the big ones, 8.5 feet wide by 24 foot dual axles, they come standard with 3,500 pound axles. So you're at a 4,000 pound trailer. You can only load 3,000 pounds in it.
You're already eating up a lot of weight.
So you've got to upgrade to the 5,200 pound axles, you know, and then you could upgrade even more. But like what you're going to haul, you know, like I remember when I redid this one, the guy was like, well, I was like, yeah, I'm going to go pick up my buddy's Tahoe in Bakersfield. It was when I was picking up Joe Molina's Tahoe. And he goes, you want to put the heavier duty leaf springs on this just to have them? And I was like, yeah. But now that resulted in, when the trailer's empty, it just bounces. So it's destroying everything. Like, it's the cheap fenders that they put on, it's breaking all the welds. Yeah. So now we're going to redo the fenders. But like, yeah, there's so many.
Funny. By the time you're done, you're going to have like this super heavy duty trailer.
Yeah. With five lug wheels. Funny. So it's like, yeah, there's just many things to consider when buying it, you know, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On that point specifically, like on this thing that I'm telling you about, I came across this super nice, like all aluminum trailer, like all this stuff. But then I started reading the descriptions all. It's, this is how much it weighs, blah, 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 blah. You can only put 2,900 pounds on top of this thing. I'm all, that's barely a mini truck.
When I was looking at the little enclosed that I have, I wanted it to be the lightest weight possible, because the Maverick can only haul 2,000 pounds. So if I get this little trailer, I need it to weigh the least amount so I can put the most amount in it. And I was looking at aluminum trailers, but then I was like, the aluminum trailer weighs the exact same as the steel trailer, because the steel trailer can just use a thin steel frame and put wood in between it, thin pieces of wood, where the aluminum trailer, it has to all be aluminum. So it's lighter steel, lighter metal, but for an enclosed, they can't utilize the wood part of it to lighten it up. So
it's all fascinating. The whole world is fascinating. Yeah. Moving right along, we got our homie Dean DJ Thurman _FFF_. This is a great question. Is Frank going to body drop the new truck or only lay frame? It will be body dropped. I am not
this podcast
living
would,
in this world anymore.
Podcast would end. We would have to go to shows separately.
Yeah. I'm not living in a world anymore where I don't have a body drop truck.
The 4Runner was different because it just lays so low already. But when you look at the Tacoma and then you look at a
It has to be body dropped. There's no way I can't have a non-body drop Tacoma. So yeah, Dean, I will be as cool as you with all your body drop trucks. We got still a bunch more, man. This is a long
keep
episode.
Going.
We got Moonlight.
That's Bobby.
Oh, okay. All right. Then you already know who that is. Do you still drink Hurricane? This is for you.
Do you still drink Hurricane malt liquor?
Yeah, Hurricane 40s in May as a tribute to the Greenville road trip.
I never drank Hurricane malt liquors. That was all the guys that was Black Dave. That was Ernie. Those guys. No, I never did that. I was a hard liquor only.
Yeah.
Not that
well,
stuff.
There you go. jumping right over. Bacon has asked a few questions, and we'll go through all of them. Who is your current dream guest? Dream guest.
Oh yeah, like someone like. Like we've wanted, like a guest, Travis Barker, like a guest on the podcast, something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, Yeah. I think that maintained, like, that'd be really cool to sit down and talk with that dude.
Yeah, there's a ton. There's one really good guest that I've been wanting to get on for a long time, and it just hasn't worked out, and he's going to be a fun one. So you'll just...
Brett?
Yeah, I was going to keep it a surprise, but yes, Brett.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. I'm nervous about that one, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be... I mean, I don't know how it's going to go, but it's going to... That one is at the top tier of my thing. And the reason that we haven't done it yet is because it's going to be a long one. It's going to be we can't just like go there in the morning and then do another guest. Like we have to give
That's got to be a dedicated thing. Yeah. Let it simmer.
Yeah. Cause it could be an hour, you know?
And we always joke that could be our first Patreon. Yeah. If you want to hear stories about little people and like, wild things anyway. Well, one day we'll have Brett and then that'll be awesome. Bacon also asks, if you had to choose between a Tacoma or a hard body, why would you pick an S10? Because Bacon has an S10. I respect the hell out of Bacon because he's really putting his all into that S10. Maybe one. I don't know. Would you ever? So you are constantly building these trucks, and you've done a Nissan hard body, Tacoma, 8995. You're about to adventure into an OBS truck. Would you one day build an S10? Or,
yeah. I would definitely build an S10. I like all mini trucks. I think they're all cool. As long as the right deal came along, and it's a content. I'm not building these for me. I built the truck that I wanted. It's in the garage. I would be like, I'll build an S10. Like, why not? It's cool.
For sure. I'm the complete opposite because you're like in a whole different thing.
Yeah. Like
I'm building this for me forever. Yeah. Not forever, but me for the long term. Yeah. So it's just going to be
I'm doing is like, hey, you could buy this truck. S10s, you got it. You know what I mean? They're cheap. So you can get them running, driving, and some of them they're cheap. You know what I mean? A lot of the times they're simple to work on. And
here's an interesting question. So an S10 is obviously not as worth as much as a Tacoma. So by the time you get to the end, is someone going to be willing to pay the price? Because it's the same amount of money to bag a Tacoma as an S10.
Yeah, but you're saving 10 grand right off the bat.
Right. So, but what I'm saying, but yeah, you're saving 10 grand off the bat, but still you have to pay for what that work is worth. Are people going to want to pay that for an S10?
No, but that's why you just go into it knowing that. Like I would go into it knowing that we're not going to do, you know, like you don't have to put all the same amount of work into the S10 because there's so many more readily available parts. And like front, it's just cups, you know, and it's going to lay low and maybe some arms. I don't know too much, but I know that to bag the front of an S10 is way easier to bag than a Tacoma. So, but yeah, and it depends too, trims, right? So if you find a 4.3 liter V6 S10, those are just as much money as a Tacoma.
Yeah. Oh, really?
So you could because they're super nice and they're super rare. So you're in $8,000-$9,000 trying to find a really nice one of those. They're super hard to find, but especially like another cool one. We had a couple of these in the club back in the day, and they were fun to drive. Was the 4.3 liter V6 manual standard cabs?
That was essentially the extremes, right?
I don't know enough about it, but I know that these things were quick. You know, the 4.3 is just basically a Chevy 350 with the six cylinders. So, but anyways, I would definitely do that.
Yeah. Maybe Bacon will buy it.
Maybe.
Bacon again, since I saw one of you laughed. Oh, this is, I laughed at this message I sent. Since I saw one of you laugh, did your morning poo set you up for success? He's very interested in our particular BMs.
Our particular what? Bowel movements?
Yeah. All right, Bacon, we're going
to
move on.
Yeah, I got some here if you want me to drop something in.
Oh, no, I still got a ton more.
Because I got some long ones.
Oh, okay. Well, then, why don't we do a couple more and then we'll jump into yours. Our buddy Daniel, Pinnacle C10. This is kind of funny. Who would win in an arm wrestle, Frank or Brian? I got $5 on Frank. Film it. I think you would win. You're not low key strong, but like, I don't know. You're a strong dude. I think you might win.
No, it proved that we were both little weak. weaklings with that whole hand thing.
And then Dean comes through.
Yeah, he's like, and we're like, all right, thanks, man.
No, yeah. I got my thing here.
I know, just keep doing that.
I couldn't even bend it when I first got it. I was like, is this thing broken?
That's awesome. All right, go ahead. We'll switch gears here.
Ryan from Phoenix out here, 94 Mini Trucking. And I don't understand these questions, so maybe you will.
Oh, okay.
Why do you think the younger generation of the scene has such an affliction towards the scene before their time? Or why do you think it is so common for nice trucks to be destroyed after they've been bought by a new owner?
I think you might be talking from some personal experience. Because, one, I think, like, young guys who come into the scene who, like, talk about, like, how it used to be, I think maybe that's just influenced by older dudes talking about that. Because they hear all the older dudes talking about how
their dad, so I think fun, his dad blah, blah, blah. Was in the scene, too.
And see, I think that's very specific. So So I think that's like a very unique thing. Again, like there's just so little new people coming into the scene. It's hard to say, you know, it's not like we're out at meets and there's always these young dudes, you know, I guess the real question asked those would be like the Humble Mini guys, the Mini Truck and Revival guys.
Well, I think too, like if you look at hot rod guys, it's because their dad was a hot rodder. So they're trying to keep that going, you know what I mean? So I think a lot of times, whatever your parents are into, you kind of like, I don't know what the percentage would be. You know, there's like a high percentage that you're into it as well. And, you know, so if you're into cars, you're going to be the thing that you grew up on.
Right. Type. Yeah. Thing. Yeah. I talked about that a little while ago about like your environment, you're a product of your environment kind of thing. And as far as like the destruction of trucks, again, he might be thinking of a very like personal experience, but I see the opposite. I see a lot of these guys picking up older builds and redoing them and taking care of them. I mean, you guys got obviously like Fester and Jenkins and those dudes, but like the guy who bought the 4Runner, you know, he bought a truck. He is like super taking care of that thing, you know? And I think that's more the sentiment. So I've not seen too many trucks get bought and then destroyed.
I think if they did get bought and destroyed, it's because they were already destroyed when they were bought.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe they were a perfect example, that green S10. Remember that those guys bought out here?
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
It's possible. That thing was beat when they got it.
Yeah.
And those guys.
In bad shape.
I don't think those guys were like, they didn't care about the story of the thing. You know what I mean? Like, but if they were to buy like Last Look and do that, then there would be some therapy needed there. You know what I mean?
And I don't want to like talk crap about that particular truck because the guy who built that truck passed away. And, you know, but I think that's part of it. That truck was built. It was a thing that happened in the past. It was cool, but it doesn't carry the same weight as some trucks, you know? So, and I also think that without going into a whole tangent about that, I always, and I've said this many times before, it's weird when people says like someone needs to save that thing.
Yeah.
No, you don't. It's fine.
Save the stock ones.
Yes, that's the
stock
thing.
Ones. Mm-hmm, let the real nice ones. Like the ones Festers, those guys, you know, they get some of those legendary trucks. It's all good and great, but man, there's a lot of beat trucks out there that are polished turds that if you want to save them, cool, save them. But at the same time, the stock ones are going away. You see them every day going down the 10 freeway. They're going down south, you know? So it's like, there's going to be less and less
and less. That's a really great perspective. Yeah. I like that. Save those trucks. Don't worry about the ones that have been cut up already.
So Rich Shoechuck has I got a real long one here for us.
Oh, ready? Oh, Rich.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
Hey, fellas. I have a question. Not sure if you've touched on it before or not, but is there factory styling cues on Mini trucks over the years that you like the most? And are the factory styling cues you like the least? I'll start. I really like the B2600i bubble hood, hard body body line, and the 720 lower valance. I really dislike the Isuzu Space Cab side glass. 88 to 97 Toyota extra cab side glass. He said something about them dropping as low as doesn't look right to me. And the Tacoma front fender body line, the way it swoops down, just doesn't look to me. Of course, these are just my opinions. And Brian will think my opinion is stupid. And I did.
I agree with 90% of that.
But look at my Tacoma. I don't like the swoop body line, so I went with the straight body line because it matches the back body line to me.
Right.
So, Rich, I only think you're half stupid.
Yeah, I agree 90% of that statement. I also love 26i. I also like 26i hoods. I don't like it when people have Mazdas and put 4x4 front fenders but don't find the bed. And I know that's really hard because I had one. I had one that had four-wheel drive front fenders, and it took me a long time to find a clean, good bed. But that extra work when it's all like that, because I like both versions. A two-wheel drive, so super sick and clean. A four-wheel drive version, also super cool, but you got to have both, you know, and the 26i hood. And you can take it even one step farther with me with Mazdas. The it was like a high trim level Mazda, but there's a chrome strip that goes around the front bumper that looks super cool. Little tiny things like that. Oh, chrome window drip guards, which is another like high end trim Mazda thing.
I like like what he was talking about with the Isuzu space cabs. Like, I've never been a fan of those windows, but I don't mind the Toyota ones because they're thinner.
I mean,
and they don't, they're just not as in your face.
And you know what else? And you probably, I don't know if you already know this, but the difference is the space cab ones are flat. Mm. They're just like flat on the side. When those, the other ones you're talking about have a little body line at the bottom.
Yeah.
That give it kind of some depth to the window.
I like older Toyota factory fender flares. And I like Nissan Frontier. There's a quad cab out there. I think it's in No Regrets now, but it's got the fender flares on it. The big.
Big, didn't we just see that? We just saw
it. It was at Unfinished Business, but it's got the big like off-road ones, and I love those.
My camera just died. I don't know. Hold on. So the battery died. I still got about 59 minutes of recording time. So,
all right. You all ready to go?
Ready to go. Back on.
What was I saying? I was saying
hard bodies.
Oh yeah, so the Frontiers, the Frontiers with the big over fenders. Right. And I think those look sick. Yeah. And only on those, though. You know, I think Izzy from Freaks added the flares to his Tacoma from the 79 Toyotas.
Oh, really?
They just kind of, they're cool. Like, if you look at the Toyota Blazer that Grant built that year, those Toyotas have like a little fender flare on them. And I think that's super cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some other like little, I'm just like a Mazda nerd. I'm a Toyota nerd. So like, I like little touches. I'm still learning about like Toyotas and stuff and different applications and different trim levels and, you know, so, but yeah, that was a great question. Like I said, I agree with about 90% of what he said.
Yeah.
Good job, Rich.
And let's see, what else do I have? Oh, here's one from Brett out here. Perfect Poise, Brett. He just sent it today. Frank, on your future Tacoma build, you had talked a little bit about using it as a truck when possible. Will you keep the bed stock depth? This was a big struggle with my truck and wanting the bed deep. We did a different frame design to keep everything low. He did an underslung frame, so it went under the axle versus over the axle. Minus the notch cover is stock depth, and I was 100% against the underslung frame. I'm excited to see what you do with it. That's what you were talking about earlier.
I'm definitely want to do truck stuff with it. I want to be able to take a booth places. And, like, I have this, like, I'm still, like, working out the rough ideas because I haven't, like, I'm just barely starting to do the first video on this whole thing about getting the Tacoma. And I want to do, like, almost like a bullet point thing of, like, things that I want. Like right now I'm doing this thing where, like, I'm very specific on the stock truck that I want. Once that's acquired, I have another set of, non-negotiables, like things that I want, non-negotiable things that I could like, you know, do differently or whatever. I just don't know what those things are yet, but I think I'll have a clearer picture on once I get it. And plus I want to sit down with Panda whenever, how it works out. I want to get out there even before we start the build. I just want to sit down with him and go over each of these things and say, what is this possible? What do you think? What about this? You know, I don't know how it will translate video wise, but I think it'll be interesting to start there.
Yeah. Here's something that people can help you obtain. Mm-hmm. You need an older Toyota axle, rear axle.
Okay.
So if anyone has an older Toyota rear axle laying around, hit Frank up because you're going to need one of those. That's a good thing to get and set off to the side.
Okay. I already got some part. I said this before that I won't like go into a bunch of detail, but I do have a few parts already. But why particularly? So you're talking about like an 89-95 rear end?
Yeah, because the Tacoma axles are too big, and when you body drop it, your wheels will hit your bedside.
They're
so you
skinnier.
Need a narrower axle.
Oh, okay.
They're narrower.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. It's cool. Yeah. So if anybody has one of those laying around, I need that one.
And That's all I got. I'm sure there's more, but
oh, I got a ton more.
You got a ton more. All right, we're at hour six-ish, so if you want to hit a couple.
Oh wait, hold on. Oh, just hold on. Sorry. And Pinnacle. Oh, never mind. I only got a few more. But I had a lot more. I had a whole.
All right. Yeah, go ahead. Finish them out.
Brent, 61 Cadman in our club. If you were to build a vehicle that wasn't a mini truck, what would it be? Mine, I'd build like a 60s, 70s custom. Old car, something like that. I've always loved those type of vehicles.
I don't know what I would do. There's too many that I want to do.
I think
he
wanted me to say C10. No. No. Not really. I love all my C10 homies, and I love the trucks, but I'm just not interested in building one myself.
Yeah. I think, like, if I had all the money in the world, and there was no... I would build a C10, but that wouldn't be the only thing I'd build. Yeah. I would build also everything else. I'd build a wagon, an import, this or that. There's too many out. There's too many things, but if I only had to pick...
not a reality thing, but if you had unlimited funds and whatever, but like what I think what he's saying, like if you weren't building these trucks right now and it had to be something else,
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know. I would, like I said, I would definitely build like a 60-70 custom. I'm like, and but my taste changed, so like if you would have asked me this like a few years ago, I would have said it would definitely be like an early 50s Chevy done in a like late 40s or late 50s style custom. But then I went through this period where I really liked 74 Caprice glass houses, you know, like I was really into that. And now ever since that Pink Motel show, I've been obsessed with 70s lowriders. Like I've been like looking at all these pictures and like watching these videos and stuff. So it changes. So currently at this moment, it would be like a late 60s, early 70s style lowrider, and probably out of very similar to what Ernie built is a 70 style 64 Impala, you know, something like that.
Yeah. I would be very much inclined to build something that's comfortable and fun to drive. And I don't know what that would be, but a lot of times we say like, oh, I want to build this. But then when you think about it, like, is that enjoyable to actually drive? Mm-hmm. Like, do you have to avoid potholes? That's can you take it through a drive through? Can you just hop in it whenever. So whatever I built would have to be get in, and I would want it to be like kind of fun to drive as far as fast wise too.
Yeah, you've always said that. You want like something sporty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would it be like what they call the JDM Hero cars?
What are those?
Supras.
Oh yeah, Skylines. Yeah. You know what? That probably would be it. It would probably be like a 93 Supra, you know, with a upgraded turbo, you know, like all that stuff.
And
because those cars are not necessarily like they're touring cars.
Yeah, that's a good way to put that's a good way to put them.
They're not track cars. They're not whatever. They're touring.
They're drivers.
Cars. I could take it. They're drivers' cars. Yeah, a touring car, like a Porsche or something like that.
911, an E3 BMW. Yep. That's they consider that a driver's car.
Yeah, but Supra has always had my heart. I love Supras. What I mean? And that thing. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's what I would do. There we go.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Patrick Graven. He's a cool dude. He gave me that 3.0 V6 thing. I don't know. Do you remember that? So on the top of the motor of the 4Runner, I had this like V6 badge and it was all janky. And he sent me a brand new one. It was really cool of him.
Oh, cool.
He says, after a show is done, how long before you begin planning the next year show? So I think what he means is like after Forbidden Fantasy, how long before you're planning next year?
Right now.
It happens pretty quick.
So pay attention to the, if you're trying to pay attention to information about the Forbidden show, pay attention to the Instagram page. Everything gets announced on the Instagram page and that's going to happen soon. So yeah, but the way that the show is now, it just mirrors the year before. Mm-hmm. So there's really no planning, quote unquote planning. There's just little tweaks, but as far as date goes, you know, we don't announce the date right away because I want to look and see where Easter falls or things like that. And sometimes things just change, but yeah, we kind of know what we're doing year to year on that one.
Yeah. Cool. The next one is from Georgia. and kind of went over this before, but to hone it in a little bit better, what's something you'll settle for in a Tacoma and something that is no exceptions? And I was thinking about it, and like I've said, I'll keep saying it over, 01 to 04, extra cab, silver. The interior, I think, is where I will might end up a little give and take. I really want the bucket seats and a console, but if it's all, if everything else falls into perfect, I think I would to give on the interior and just do the 60-40. Yeah,
because you can get that.
That's later. What someone else said. Someone's like, you can just get that. Like, it's not, you're not stuck with that forever, and it will bolt right in. So if I do find a different interior with those seats, it'll just bolt right in. So I think that's the give. The non-starts are definitely don't want a standard cab. The other also the year. I don't want an older one.
Automatic.
And the color. I think I'm pretty stuck on the color. So
Yeah.
So there's I only the one color would exception, be, I guess.
I think the color would be an exception if it was white and cheap.
Yes. Yeah.
Like if someone was like, here's everything you want, but it's white, but it's $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Buy that thing. Yeah. Even if you just bought it and just cruised it around and sold it later on, you know what I mean?
Like, that's like true too.
Sometimes those right deals, sometimes you find them on Marketplace and you're like, hey, is this available? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go buy it because I got it cheap enough. I could just, if I find a silver one in between now and when I have to drop it off at Pandas, like if you found a white one for $6,000, buy it. Get all your parts, and then by the time you get it to Pandas, like by the time that slot opens up, whenever that might be, still shop around for silvers because you could just go buy a silver one and then sell the white one.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? No, that's a great point. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I would say that right off the bat, like maybe the interior is probably because then now you're just like imagine that, like I find it, it's like 190,000 miles, super clean, silver, everything, but it's got the 60-40. I'm like, oh, and it's like, it's like $8,500, and I'm like,
yeah, yeah, no, I really want that center console.
Yeah, yeah, great question, thanks, Georgia. The last two, we'll wind it down. Buddy Kenny from Nebraska, K Faring. What is the perfect truck? Oh, never mind. It's the same thing Georgia asked. What if the perfect truck has everything but the wrong seats? Is it a deal breaker? No, we just discussed that.
No.
And then the very last one, our buddy, Canada, Yeti Fab.
Who?
Turkey Drag.
Yeah.
Are you going?
Turkey
Drag. Yeah, are you going?
Yes. Okay.
I'm not.
We discussed this. You did not have any input in the discussion of Turkey Drag when we were talking about it in the group. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you outside of the group and see how, if you were wanting to go or not.
Oh, I don't know, man. We'll see. See how it goes.
Yeah.
But I guess if Devin's going.
Yeah, I'm going. I think Lindsay's going. Surface Nick's going.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind. I'm caught up now. I know.
Remember that? Yeah.
And I'm still, I don't know. We'll see how it goes down.
Yeah.
But that's it. Thanks, Devin, for the question.
Frank doesn't like to make, money.
I know. I hate money. I just like to spend it on Tacomas.
Yeah. By that time, you might be going, oh, I need some extra money. I'm going to go for sure.
Well, you know what? That scenario has happened before. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. There's a couple other things cooking, too, like October-ish that we got to work out before that. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the reason that I never went to Turkey Drag was because Severed was always that weekend.
Oh, that's right.
There's no Severed. So between November with Day to Remember and Dino's, there's nothing until like February. So like I'm like, oh no, I fill that gap with Severed. It was just a little thing, but now I'm like, huh. And never been to Turkey Drag, and it's supposed to be a really big show, lots of cruising, so I'm like, yeah, might as well just do it.
Well, cool, right on. Anything else going on?
Well, there's all kinds of stuff going on.
There is, but I think we've reached the end of this one.
We've reached the end of this one. And so go buy stuff on our website, and that's right.
Yeah, livelifecustom.com, grand-tv.com, or thegoodlife, G-O-U-D-E, life.com. I'm starting to get that going. You know, it's usually grand-tv.com, livelifecustom.com, good life.
The good life. So many lives. There's the custom life and the good life.
I might have been saying it wrong. Is it thegoodlife.com?
The good life.
My bad. I was just saying goodlife.com.
Yeah,
thegoodlife.com.
Yeah.
All right. Later. All right.